on one aspect of the body of Christ, or the body in general. Amen. And that is growth. If you are not growing, then there's something wrong, right? The body never stops replacing itself, except for your brain cells. They say the rest of your cells replace themselves during your lifetime up to 7 times. Otherwise, you know, you would be getting old a lot faster than we are. And aging is actually when the body stops replacing the cells and starts slowing down the rate of replacement. And that's what aging is. But in the body of Christ, we are to be growing. I have been through some things, so the things that used to scare me before don't scare me as much, because I've seen what God can do. I just think that that's just an awesome testimony. That I'm going to meditate on that one, Sister Johnny. Amen. I needed that this morning. I really did. And also, Sister Susan, God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. He can do anything but fail. So we're going to be looking at what things are necessary in the body of Christ for growth. Start off with our main theme scripture from this month, which was Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Amen. As I've said so many times, we don't have to bring in animal sacrifices because Christ died for us. He was the sacrifice. That he should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. The difference between the God that we serve and many of the other religions is their founder has still got a grave somewhere. As I've said so many times, Muhammad has a grave. Buddha has a grave. Krishna. All of those different religions, their founders have a grave. But only one claims to have risen from the dead, whose grave is empty. You can go to Jerusalem, you can walk in the cave. There is no body in there because he arose from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it says, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And we're going to be looking at the fruit part, because growth means that you're going to bring forth fruit. So, the question I'm going to start off with is, are you growing? Have you progressed? Are you a different person than you were 2 or 3 years ago? Can you see where you've actually made some spiritual progress? Are there things that you can deal with now that maybe you couldn't deal with before? Are there things that bothered you before that you've been able to get rid of? That's what we're going to look at today. Ephesians 4:17. Thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Paul here was writing to the Ephesian church, and they hadn't been established very long. And what he was saying is, listen, don't follow the world. We should be different. We can't do everything that everybody else does. This week I had to block a few people on Facebook because of their language. You know, using the N-word, this word, that word. You know, I mean, and then they will have some other thing about God, and I don't understand that. You can't have both feet in one place and another feet in, you know, the Bible says bitter water can't come out the same place as sweet. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. It's a choice. You can't do both. So I had to kind of turn off a few people because the things that are coming out of them are not so sweet. Bible says it's what comes out of us defiles us. Whether that's written or if it's spoken or in our attitude, it's what comes out of us that really defiles us. That's very profound. So he's saying here, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That is, whatever pleases me, whatever I want to do. If I want to be the baddest and, you know, be the most hip, then I'm going to throw all those words in there to look so cool. Paul says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Most of the world is ignorant that there is a plan of salvation, that there is a God, that there are changes in their lifestyle that they need to do because of blindness of their heart. To the point where some have been past feeling, that's what it says. Past feeling, giving themselves over into anything that makes me feel good. Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. I, me, and myself. Whatever is about me. That's what some people's life is all about. But verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If you've been coming to church, if you have been reading your Bible, if you have been trying to make a connection, have a relationship with God, that's not what Jesus was about. He was selfless. He was all about helping other people. We're coming up this week to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And I was thinking about all the things God has done for me and how grateful I am. And how merciful he is. And it's nothing to do with me. It really isn't. I don't deserve. You know what I say when people ask me how I'm doing? Better than I deserve. Amen. Because it's the truth. I don't deserve any of the stuff that God has done for me. He has been so merciful. But the question I want you to meditate on in the next hour is, are you growing? Are you growing? Now, sometimes growing means some purging. You know what a gardener does when he comes to a rose and he looks and he'll start doing some cutting. But he's doing that so there can be some what? Growth. We used to have a big rose bush in the middle of our front, just in front of our picture window. And when I cut it, I was surprised at how much the next year there would be more flowers and more flowers. Now, the cutting doesn't feel good at the time, does it? No, it doesn't feel good. But what God is doing is setting you up to produce fruit, to grow. Amen. And this was God's plan for the body from the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. Always seems to go back to Genesis. Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. When you plant something, what do you expect to happen? God planted a garden because he expected there was to be growth. He could have just commanded it to appear. But he wanted this particular garden to go through a process. To go through a process. And that's why God has planted you and put his seed in you so that you can grow. He could just flick his fingers and make us perfect, but that's not his plan. He planted a garden to see some growth. Amen. We see in Genesis 8:2 that the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Anything that's planted deliberately, there's a purpose for it. It's only weeds just kind of grow by themselves. But anything you plant, you didn't just plant it as a weed. You wanted to see something. Anyone had a garden this year or last year? All right. So what did you plant? Vegetables. Did they grow? All right. I need to come by your house then. Amen. You know, my wife, sometimes she plants some tomatoes and some other things, but sometimes the rabbits and the squirrels get in there. That's the devil. I have to rebuke them critters. Amen. But when God planted something, he's expecting something to happen. The Bible said we have been planted together with him in baptism. You know what that means? He's expecting something from us. He's expecting that we grow, that we're not the same person we were when we first went in the water. Because if you have a child and they're not growing, and you go to the doctor and say, well, they're in the 80th percentile, and then they go back and say, well, they're in the 70th percentile, and you know something's not happening right. You know, we are supposed to grow. So the Bible said that everything he planted was for a purpose, that it is pleasant for the sight. He planted some things because he just wanted them to be beautiful. That was his purpose. He wanted you to be beautiful. Amen. Not that he expected anything from you, just that you be beautiful.
Okay.
Did you know that? It says that it was pleasant to the sight. That's what he's talking about. Pleasant to the sight and good for food. And also the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I've said that once you plant something, there's some things you need for the thing to grow. Name me some things you need for stuff to grow.
Water.
Amen. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. See, God is not just going to plant you and then leave you alone. Because he knows that you need some things in order for you to grow. So you see that when he planted the garden, he didn't just plant the garden. He provided a source of water. Amen. He provided a source for the plants that he planted to grow. So what I'm trying to say is if God has planted you, he's also provided the source of water. And I'm going to go into some of those things today. If you've been planted and you're not growing, it's maybe because you're not using the source. It's maybe because you're not really taking in the nourishment. Because as well as water, there's other things that plants need to grow. Amen. Let's look at this scripture here in, see if this is going to come up here. Okay. And God blessed them, and God said unto Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. What does that mean? In other words, he's telling them what? Have children. In other words, grow. Grow. Be fruitful. Before the Ten Commandments, God's first commandment was be fruitful, multiply, and grow. Subdue and have dominion. Before the Ten Commandments, that was God's first commands. He asked us to grow because he has planted us. You know, when you plant something and it doesn't grow, you get very disappointed. Because you know what you have done? You've probably cleared that area, especially you dug up the earth. You went and got some fertilizer and you sprinkled it. You probably put a fence around it to protect it from the critters, the squirrels and the rabbits. And then you made sure it was watered. When it was too hot, you probably tried to cover. When it was too cold, you put some plastic over it. Why? Because you're expecting it to grow. Expecting it to grow. God's plan for the church is that it should grow. Amen. So let's look at some of the elements of growth. We said some of them before. We're going to look at some of these in detail. You also need nutrients. You also need nutrients. There are certain areas of the country where they look for to plant vineyards. They won't grow and produce the nice wine. I don't know nothing about wine, but that's what they say. Right, you have to plant it in a certain, the soil has to have a certain acidity, has to have certain nutrients. So one of the things for growth is you need nutrients. If you plant the food, the plant in sand, even if you have water, guess what? Still won't grow. You need all of the elements for the body to grow. So you have nutrients, you have water we talked about before, but here's something you also need for growth. Name some other things you might think are necessary for a plant to grow. Sunlight, fresh air. That's what I was looking for, air. A plant needs carbon dioxide. It needs air to grow. You put it in a vacuum, even if you have water and you have nutrients, it will still die. Okay, and I called it sunlight, not sunlight. Because we're talking about us. We are the plants. We're the plants. The Bible says we have been planted together with Christ. And we need nutrients, water, air, and we need some sunlight in our lives for us to grow. Okay. Amen. The other thing, of course, is you need good soil. Jesus told the parable of the seed that fell upon all kinds of soil. There was rocky soil. There was stony ground. There was one where the weeds came up and choked, which is the cares of life. It's so easy when you leave church to just let the cares of life choke out. So that if I was to ask you Monday morning, what was the message? You would have to actually be thinking about it. Maybe go get your notes. See, the cares of life will choke away your growth if you let it. It's so easy to start thinking about all the things you got to do tomorrow. Anyone got a list? Anyone got a list of stuff? I got a long list of stuff that I got. If I start focusing on that, you know what I'm doing? I'm stopping the nutrients getting to me today. Because you have to meditate upon the Word of God. Yesterday I was teaching the PI class, and the students, some of the students asked me, how do you come up with some of the stuff you come up with? What's the secret? Well, we would like you to have just a class to tell us how you come up with all the stuff you come up with. And I haven't replied to them yet because I really don't know exactly how to answer them that question. But I tell you one thing you absolutely need to do is you have to meditate. You have to meditate upon the Word of God. When you find some spiritual food, you have to chew it. If you just swallow it, you know what happens when you swallow food? You don't get the flavor. That's why when they're doing wine tasting, what do? They swirl it around and they sniff it and they get in there and they don't just gulp it down. You see, if you want to get the most out of the Word of God, you have to meditate upon it. You have to be like those cows and chew the cud. You have to think about it tomorrow when you're at work. Okay, pastor asked the question, have I grown? If I haven't grown, what am I going to do about that? What is the reason that I'm still the same I was 10 years ago? Why haven't I grown? Because God is looking for you to have grown. There's nothing more frustrating. If you do plant a garden, you've watered it, you've put everything there, and you come back, and nothing has happened. It is still so small and so, shriveled up. You'd be upset. You know what you're likely to do? You're likely to just dig it up and start again. Amen. Soil. The other thing you need for there to be growth. Anyone? Name me some other things you need for there to be growth. Yeah, we got sunlight. Okay, let's call that nutrients. There's still one thing you're missing. Time. Some of us get frustrated with God because we come to church, we pray, and then we expect the change instantly. When you plant something, do you expect the next day to come back and find a 6-foot stalk of... No. The next thing you need for growth is time. It's time. You have to give time for the change to happen. Some people, they come to God, they say, please baptize me, Pastor. They get baptized, and then because their life has not changed, because they're in the same situation on a Monday that they were on a Sunday, they have no root. They have not waited for there to be some time for growth. So for the body to grow, it also needs time. Amen. And then anything else you could think of for growth? See, you probably didn't think all of these things at first, but there are patience. Who said patience? All right. Amen. Well, that's kind of like time, but that's part of it. I'll tell you what, if you ever get a seed or anyone potted a potato or anything like that, you first put it in a small jar. And then if you keep it in that same size thing, guess what? It's not going to grow. So one of the things you need for growth is room. Room, right? So you need at least these 7 things for there to be growth. Of course, you all know you're in the right place for that. Because the name of this church, Rehoboth, means God has made room. God has made room. So for there to be a body to grow, you need at least these things. You need nutrients. You need a source of water. You need air, you need sunlight, you need soil, you need the thing that's going to hold the roots together, and you need time, you need patience, and you need room to grow. You keep it in that little thing, it'll grow and then it will stop. So these are all the elements for a body to grow. Those of you who have little babies, you know, you buy the 6-month little thing, and within 2 weeks, it's all tight. You got to go by the 8-month and then the 9-month. And then, you know why? Because that baby's growing. And that's what you expect. That's what you want. Isn't it a good thing by the time we get to 5, our growth slows down? Because think about the baby is born 7 pounds. By the end of the first year, I don't know, how much are they by then? 25? Imagine if you tripled your weight every year. So we need to find room to grow. This is what the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:2. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word. That's the nutrient. That he may grow. That's why people who skip church or don't come to church, they don't get encouraged. They don't get a word that's going to encourage them. Today, I don't want you to leave without hearing something that is going to encourage you. And I already heard it. I heard your testimony. That just blessed me. Amen. You know, because that was pure faith. That was pure faith. And God will show up when we have pure faith in a time of need. Amen. But if we don't get fed spiritually, our soul is going to shrivel up. And it's because we don't see, we don't realize why we have such a foul, stinking attitude. It's because inside we have not been watered or fed or nutrients. And all we're doing is looking on the outside of things. But we haven't really examined where our elements of growth that we need are coming from. Okay, let's look at this. We're going to start with nutrients. Deuteronomy 8:3, you know that after Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted, the devil came to him and said, listen, you're very hungry. Why don't you just turn this stone into bread? And Jesus actually quoted from Deuteronomy. And he humbled these. This is in Deuteronomy. Remember where they were after they came out of Egypt? Where were they? At a supermarket mall where they could get food? No, they were out in the desert. Sometimes, as I preached last week, the way through is through a desert place because God wants to show you that all the growth factors come from him. Now, wouldn't you be shocked if your neighbor at night was creeping into your yard and feeding your plants? You see, that wouldn't be right. The growth, all of the nutrients come from him. This is what God wanted to teach them, that because when they were in Egypt, they learned that all of their help came from Pharaoh. It's whatever he allowed into their lives. If he said, you're going to get straw to build the bricks, that was fine. So they didn't understand and put trust in God. So God had to teach them. He had to teach them. So in Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, and he humbled thee. Because when you're in need, you become humble. When you're proud and stuck up, you would have never gone and asked that man. But there was no other choice. And he had a suit on. So God said, go speak to him. See, God will take us through a desert place so as to humble us, so that we have a need on him. And when we have that need on him, then he will give us that need, and then we can grow. It says in Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He allowed them to have a need. If we didn't have a need, most of us wouldn't pray. I think that's true. I pray harder when I'm in trouble, don't you? I pray much harder when I'm in trouble, when I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Then you see, unfortunately, that's our human nature. It's only when we are in trouble, when we're under pressure, that when we suddenly turn to God. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. God made food fall from the sky, which they knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone. If you think that you're living by just the physical, your soul is shriveling up. To really grow spiritually, you don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. That's what it says. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the nutrients is the word of God. In fact, we can see that in Genesis, because the Bible says that God planted. It doesn't tell us what he planted, but you know, usually when you plant, it's a seed. And in Luke 8, it reveals that the seed is what? The word of God. Isn't that amazing? Today, you're having a seed planted. It's up to you if you let the nutrient, let it grow, and you become encouraged. You heard a seed today of faith, of deliverance, of how God can heal, how God can provide provision, how he can make your car fixed in a desert place. Amen. So the nutrient is the word of God. Anyone here don't like eating? Anyone here just hate food? I think some people hate the word of God, though. They don't eat it. You know, you ever seen these pictures where they take a lemon and they give it to a little baby? We find that so funny. It's cruel. I know. I saw that one on Facebook. It was funny. It don't hurt them. Amen. It didn't hurt them. But you ever seen those faces? And they don't know what to do. They kind of want it, but then when it gets in their mouth, that's how some of us are with the Word of God. Let's be honest. We need that citric acid, but, you know, it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. In the book of Ezekiel, the angel gave Ezekiel a scroll, and he said, eat it, all of it. See, the Word of God, I've said, is not a buffet. You can't get to pick and choose the good parts that you like. All the love. God is love and God is mercy. You can't just eat that part. You have to eat all of it. You have to eat your veggies, the parts with the proteins and the nutrients, for you to spiritually grow. Amen. That's what it takes. Jeremiah 15:16, this is what it says. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. When I was younger, there were some foods I hated. For some reason, I hated cheese. Now you can't get me away from cheese. It's probably why I moved to Wisconsin. No. But when I was young, I hated cheese. I can't believe I hated cheese, but I did. And there were some foods that I hated, like, I don't know, Brussels sprouts. And now I love that stuff, or avocado. I hated vegetables. You see, the Word of God is an acquired taste. But once you start to eat it, once you start to understand how powerful it is and how much spiritually it can build your spiritual body, you'll do like Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name. See, I love good teaching and love and good preaching. I love when I find someone who is teaching me, who is saying something I haven't heard, who is feeding me. I love that. I eat them up. I'll read all their books. I'll listen to everything they've got. I'll go back and get fat spiritually. Amen. That's our attitude should be if we're going to grow. That should be our spiritual attitude. But a lot of us, we like, what's he saying today? That's not for me. That must be for him or her. In the class, I said yesterday that we were talking about whether Judas had any choice. You know, could he have not betrayed Christ? And the point I made is that when he said, one of you is betraying me, you know what they all said? Is it I? Because all of them had the potential of betraying him. All of them. All of us have the potential. That's why we have to die daily. That's why we have to eat the Word of God every day. Or else we become deficient. They found in the 1800s, they couldn't understand why sailors on these long trips were getting this disease called scurvy. And their bones were getting brittle and a lot of them were dying. And they found out it was because they were deficient in vitamin C. And once they found it out, they started sending fruits on the ships. Before, in the sailing days, when it used to take months to cross the ocean. See, we can become spiritually deficient. Because, you know, we only come to evangelistic service. We only want to hear the preached word. We don't want to hear the teaching. You know, so we're feeding something that's better than nothing, but we become vitamin C deficient. And we're still not understanding what's wrong with us. You see, you have to take the whole word. It's not a buffet. I love buffets because you can pick and choose this and this. But the Word of God is not a buffet. You eat what's put in front of you, right? Amen. So we need the nutrient for our spiritual soul, for the body to grow. Amen. We see that one of the things was water, and we see that God made sure that the garden he had planted was well watered in Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four. The water divided into four, so it made sure that the whole area was watered. And the name of the first is Pison, that is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the meaning of the word Pison means increase, increase. And the gold of that land, there is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And Gion means bursting forth. You see, God has actually given us everything that we need. The Bible says that he has provided everything we need spiritually. The problem why we're not growing is because we're not eating the food, or we're avoiding the stuff that he has provided, or we're not even coming to the place when the table is set. Because do you see what God did with these four rivers? So the first one was called Pison, which means increase. Gion means bursting forth. And the third river is called Hiddekel, which means rapid. You know, you're going to have some increase, bursting forth, rapid. If you're planted by rivers of living water. Amen. God can do things quickly. He can. But it depends upon us. The last river is called Euphrates, and it means fruitfulness. When you put that all together, increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. Wouldn't you all want that? Wouldn't you want that? Come on now, I don't hear no words of amen on that one. I don't want to be a dry, shriveled up branch. I want all of this. Increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. When you're planted by a river, you're going to grow. The biggest trees are ones where they can get the water. Amen. Amen. You know why leaves fall off in the winter? Is because the sap, the water content goes down, and so the leaves dry up. That's why they turn brown. That's why they fall off. So we need water for transport of the nutrients. But the other thing about water for the body is cleansing. In John 13:4, I mean, you can grow, but if you don't get clean every now and then, nobody's going to be wanting to be around you. Amen? I've told you at least 3-4 times about that man who did an experiment. He went for a year without bathing of any kind. And it took him months afterwards to get well. He was clean, but he wasn't well because all of that filth and foul had gotten into him. And every day we leave this place, we walk into the world, and we get dirty. Right now on your skin, on the surface of your skin, is billions of bacteria. Billions of bacteria. I'm working in a place now where they produce probiotics. It's like a culture where before you go anywhere into the plant, you have to cleanse yourself. You have a station where you have to take your shoes and put it on there for cleaning. You have to put your hands into this thing and it cleans it, and they put it under ultraviolet light. Then you have to suit up in a completely sterile garment because they can't allow any kind of germs into that place because it's for food. They're preparing food, and if that was sold and some germ was in there, you know that would cause a lot of trouble. But most of us, we don't understand that spiritually, we're not washing ourselves. We're not washing ourselves from what the world is putting on us, and we're not even conscious of it. Do you understand when you go out there, just going through life, you're hearing all kinds of filth and foul that although you're not saying it or doing it, it is getting on your spiritual skin, so to speak. And without doing a spiritual cleansing, you're going to be dirty. Jesus illustrated this in the foot washing ceremony. This is the revelation of what the foot washing ceremony is about for the body. In John 13:4, they had just finished the regular meal. The Bible says, "He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself." And it's always chokes me up because this was the God of the universe washing his creation's feet. Think about that. You know, sometimes we're asked to do some things and we kick up such a fuss. That's below me. Why do you ask so-and-so to do it? Here was the God who made them washing their feet. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou knowest not now." He was saying, "You're not going to understand this symbol I'm doing. But thou shalt know hereafter. He said, you will understand what I'm doing later on. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Because he knew who he was. You can't wash my feet. You're the creator. But Jesus answered him, if, and this is very important, we're talking about cleansing for the body. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That's a very important thing to meditate upon. If you don't get washed, you have no part with him. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, in that case, Lord, not my feet only. You know, Peter was extreme. It was either don't wash me or dunk me. In that case, Lord, not only my feet, my hands and my head. Do the whole thing then, if that's what it takes. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash, not save, but to wash his feet, but is clean every week. What he was really speaking about, the revelation of this washing, was baptism. What he was saying, Peter, you've already been baptized. You don't need to be baptized again, but your feet spiritually walk through this world, and it's your feet. In those days, they didn't have paved roads. They had dusty trails, and they wore sandals. So every house had a basin of water, so that the first thing you did when you came was washed your feet. Jesus was using this to show, although we don't need to be baptized because we have been baptized, we do need our feet washed because we walk through this world. And the washing that he's speaking about is the water of the word. When you come in here and you hear the word, it is symbolically washing your feet. And this is why he said, if you don't do this, you have no part. This is why the body needs to have your feet washed spiritually. I need my feet washed. I had my feet washed this morning when I heard that testimony. That so blessed me. Jesus saith, he that is washed needeth not save to but to wash his feet, but is clean every week. And ye are clean, but not all, because of course Judas was still there. So the water for the body is also for cleansing. And that water, of course, is the word of God as well. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, that means set apart, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The other scripture says that we are washed by the washing of the word. When we come here and we hear testimonies, we hear exhortations, we hear praise report, that is spiritually washing our feet. It's cleansing us of all the filth and foul we've heard all week. Because we're in this world. The Bible says, I'm not taking you out yet, but not of the world. But there's no way you can run in a rainstorm and not get wet. Did you know that? I've tried. Doesn't matter how fast you run, you're going to get a few drops on you. And the first thing you do when you get inside is you get a towel and you start wiping stuff off. When you come in here, what we're doing spiritually is we're wiping stuff off. In our worship, in the word that goes forth, we're getting cleansed. So that when you leave here spiritually, man, I feel so much better. That just blessed me. I mean, that's how I feel when I leave church. I feel I come in here in one way, but I go out a different way. I may have come in here, you know, with some heavy thoughts, you know. And I get up here as pastor, sometimes I've got a lot of stuff circling in my head. But there hasn't been a Sunday I've left here not feeling so much better. Amen. You know? So much better. There's nothing better than you had a very hard day at work and you've gotten all dirty and you just go in the shower and you turn it on to hot and you just stand there and you just circle till it just makes you feel good. Sometimes I just stand there for a while before I even put on soap. I'm just letting it just wash me. Spiritually, when we come here for the body, that is what we need to do. It's just sometimes you don't even feel like doing it. Just stand there. Let the word wash you. Let it cleanse all of that filth and foul out of your spirit. So that when you leave here, you can have a smile on your face. And get prepared because the enemy is still out there. I hope none of us are like that guy who's going to not wash but once a year. Man, I hate feeling that I can smell myself. I kind of back off people, you know, like sometimes people keep coming close to you and you're trying to save them some trouble. I'm backing away and they're coming closer. But there's nothing better than when you go in that, and sometimes I don't even want to come out because it's, I know it's cold out of when I pull the curtain back. It's nice and warm in the shower, the water. There's a refreshing, amen. That is what the body is supposed to provide. I've only gotten to water and I'm got so much more to go. I better hurry. Amen. So we see that the water for the body is refreshing. We know the story of the Jesus with the woman at the well. And you know how he met her. And Jesus answered her and said unto her, John 4:10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given living water. Living water is water that is fresh, that's not stale, because it's being always flowing, always clean, purified. Water that is not flowing can have contaminants. You don't want to be drinking that. But living water has flown through some earth filter, some sand, so it is pure, it is clean, it is cold. He was telling, listen, if you knew who it was who was standing here today, and if, I'm not talking me, I'm talking right here now. You can't see him, but the Holy Spirit is here. If you knew the Holy Spirit was here and saying, listen, just ask of me today. I know you got some problems. I know you've got some issues. I know you've been going through some terrible situations, but I have some water for you. I have some blessing for you. I have some deliverance for you. If you will just believe and trust me, amen. See, this woman didn't know who it was. She thought he was just a Jew and was saying, what are you doing here? Don't you know you Jews are not supposed to be over this part of town? What are you doing here? And she said, he said, you don't even know who it is talking to you. So she started questioning him. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than him? Who are you? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Springing up into everlasting life. The Bible says, you know, when they first went into the desert under Moses, they started complaining. Because there was no water. They came across some water, but it was bitter because it was stagnant water. It was still water, and they couldn't drink it. So God told Moses to do something very special. I want you to cut down a branch of a tree and throw it in the water. Now, when we read it, it sounds very simple, and you know, but think about, first of all, where they were. They were in a place where there was no water. The water that was there was poisonous. So where is this tree coming from? Where did the tree come from that he's supposed to cut down and put in the water? The Bible doesn't really go into detail, but I think it was a miracle. In a desert place, there was a tree that he could cut down. The Bible speaks about the branch. And that place was called Mara because that's where we got the word, where we get the word Mary from. Mara means bitter. Mara means bitter. But when the branch was put into the bitter water, it became sweet. That's what we need for growth. Some of us, Satan has infected our water supply. He has hurt us and made us untrustful and bitter. The only thing that can cure it is to have the branch put into our water, to change that Mara, that bitter water, into something sweet. That's what I'm talking about, growing the body. We can't be the same as we were the other. We got to let go of some of these things because they will kill us. So he reveals something. He told her that there was some water that if she drank it, she would never thirst again. I don't know if she really understood it, but she said, give it all to me. I want this stuff. I'm tired of coming to this well every day and having to draw all this water. And you know, when she came, the Bible tells us a little important detail when she came, which was unusual. She came at midday, which was not the time most people went to draw water. You understand, she was avoiding people. That's why she saw this man and she wasn't expecting. She thought she would sneak out at midday where there wasn't anybody around to bother her or knew about her past. Because midday was the hottest part of the day. Usually they drew the water in the morning or in the evening, not at midday. She came out not expecting to see Jesus. You may have come out today not expecting anything from this service. But I'm telling you, he's sitting in a well waiting for you. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said in John 7:38, we're talking about what makes the body grow. Bible says on that last great day of the feast, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. That's a 7-day feast, but they have an extra day which they call the Great Day. The Bible says that he came to the feast secretly in the middle of the feast. So he came about on the 3rd day he showed up because his brethren had already gone and they said, hey, aren't you coming? You're supposed to be some great prophet. That is his brethren, that is his brothers, didn't believe him. You're some great prophet. If you want to show yourself, come to this feast. He let him go and he arrived secretly in the middle of the feast. But on the last day of the feast, and this feast, what they would do, it concerned water. They would go down to the spring. The priest would take up water and they would bring it to the altar and pour it out on the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus, on that last great day, said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, that's an important condition. A lot of people believe, but not as the scripture hath said. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, the thing that's going to make the body grow is the Spirit. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm talking about things to make the body grow. We need the Spirit. You cannot grow without the Spirit. The Bible says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are what? None of his. None of his. Amen. Air, I'm going to try and hurry. We talked about that as one of the things that you need for the body to grow. Jesus, when he went to Nicodemus, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be amazed that I said unto you, you must. Not optional. You must be born again. And then he brings this illustration. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. That means the wind blows where it wants to. And you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it is with everyone, not some, not 80%, everyone. What is it? So is it? It's that you hear. There is a sound that the Spirit always makes when it is nearby, just like the wind. That's what Jesus said. But canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. If a baby don't cry, they get worried as it comes out. First thing the mother is listening for is that first, then you know it's alive. If it don't, you know, they start getting the suction stuff and you see them start suctioning and they're trying to get that first sound. So it is with everyone. Everyone. Now, that's not my words. That's the Bible's words. So I can't tear that up to make some people happy. See, we need the wind, the Spirit, to grow. Jesus, before he left his disciples in John 17, the Bible said he did what? He breathed on them because he knew that was necessary. Without the Spirit, we're not empowered. I am absolutely sure The Spirit led you to do what you did. The Spirit engineered that so that you would have a blessing and a testimony this morning. That is so awesome. Those that are led by the Spirit, to them gave He power to become sons of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It's the Spirit that empowers us. It's part of that nutrient. It's the thing that gives us the ability to truly grow. Amen. I won't get through all of this. We talked about sunlight. Sunlight. S-O-N, not S-U-N. We need S-U-N for this body. But for what's inside, we need the S-O-N. We need the S-O-N. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Jesus revealed something to three of his most closest disciples about a week before he was crucified. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. You know what he was doing? He was showing them, I believe, what a son of God really looks like. Because that's what we're going to look like. We're going to shine. The Bible says we're going to be as bright as stars. The glory of God is going to cover us. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Bible speaks about the glory that is yet to be revealed in us. That's so amazing that God could take me, worthless me, and cleanse me and fit me as a vessel for his glory. Now that is the miracle. That is the miracle. Jesus was giving them a foretaste, a preview. The Bible says, and his raiment became shining. See, you need some sunlight. Exceeding white as snow. So as no fuller. Fuller in those days were the people who made the soap on earth can white them. A cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. We need to see Jesus. Some people near his death came saying, we would see Jesus. They were determined. The people who got that paralyzed man healed, they were determined. We would see Jesus. They went on the roof and started disassembling the roof. We would see Jesus. They were going to let nothing stop them. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I just see him, if I just even touch him, you have to be determined in this thing. You have to be determined in this thing. You know, there are some species of bird that although they lay about 5 eggs, only one of them survives. You know why? Because that one makes the most noise. He's determined to get fed. When the mother comes back, he's just got his mouth open. You never seen that on the nature shows, how they just go like this? And he's elbowing everybody. He's going to get his. When it comes to getting some sunlight, you need to get yours today. You need to get your praise on. You need to tell Satan, I don't care how I came. I don't care how I feel right now. I'm determined to get some sunlight in my soul this morning. Jesus was saying, hey, I want to show you what's going to happen. But this is a secret. You can't tell anyone yet. You can't tell anyone yet. I'm going to take you up this mountain. I'm going to show you something. And they didn't really understand what happened. All they saw is that Jesus transfigured. He revealed the glory of what a son of God looks like. You won't be able to see me at all. I'll just be shining like a light. And it won't be this sweat or oil. It will be the glory of God. To grow, we need God's sunlight in our lives. It is the grace of God, the Bible says, that leadeth men to what? Repentance. I saw a scripture that jumped out at me, and I wish, I can't remember where it is, but it said that, were you there, the wrath of God? Okay. When did we say it? I don't remember where it was said, but it said the wrath of God does not lead to salvation. I mean, the wrath of man does not lead to salvation. I'll have to find the scripture. But it is God's grace, and it's the Son's light that really will make us grow. Without him coming, without him giving them authority, there was nothing they could do. But when he gave them authority, when the Son gave them authority, they went out, they rebuked demons, and they were rejoicing. They were having a great time. Amen. We have to stand. I can't finish today. We only got through to three of the four nutrients today. Amen. But we have one more week.
Amen.
We have another week. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we don't do good works to get into heaven, but as a witness to other people. It's not because it counts for my righteousness, but that's the only thing the world can judge me by is what they see me do. They can't see my heart. Only God looks at my heart. What they see is how I act, how I behave, how I dress, what I say. So I need to be a witness. We need to reflect the sunlight. When Moses was up on the mountain, when he came down, the Bible said his face glowed, shined so much they were afraid of him. He had to wear a veil. We should have that much power that we have to wear a veil. Not because we're Muslims, but because we got the glory of God on us. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. We're talking about what makes the body grow. And we need all these things. We need the water of the word, and we need the air of the spirit. And we need the sunlight. We couldn't even get to the other things. But the fulfillment of it is that if we get all these things, then you know what we're supposed to produce? Tell me. Fruit. 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 Right? Patience. Love. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Joy. Gentleness. Peace. If you let all these things come into your soul, you're going to produce some fruit. People are going to want to be around you because you are producing fruit. Amen. See, there's nothing more depressing than being around sour people. Good morning. What's good about it? You know, who wants to be around people like that? We should be producing fruit, the joy of the Lord. That's why I say, when they ask me how I'm doing, I say, better than I deserve. They always look at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, well, things could be worse. I'm just thankful for God's mercy, His love, His joy. Amen. I'm telling you that when we are letting all of these nutrients in, this body is going to grow. Amen. We're going to have to finish here today, but I want you to meditate. If you want to know how to make this food be powerful, don't let the devil steal the word, because remember, that's what happened. The cares of life choked it, or the birds came and took it away. Soon as you leave this service, someone's going to call you to make you upset. Someone's going to call you with some negative word. Something's going to happen tomorrow. You'll get a bill. The car will get dented, or you'll lose your keys. Just take a deep breath and say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall not sin against you. I'm growing, Lord, no matter what Satan wants to do to me, no matter what his plan is. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your anointing. We